According to many opinions, the first of the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu was what this Sedra starts with, Lech Lecha. Yeah. The Rabban Shalom told Avraham Avinu to leave his land where he was brought up, his father's home, and to go to the land that he'll show him. And this is a test. Will he follow him? Will he listen or not? The only problem is that Rashi says right away in the beginning that the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu phrased this command to him was Lech Lecha. He could have said just Lech, go. What's Lech Lecha? Rashi says Lech Lecha means for your pleasure and your benefit. Lehanoscha uletovoscha, for your pleasure and your good. What does that mean? There are many things in this world that are pleasurable, but they're not good for you. When my mother used to tell me, eat your vegetables because they're good for you, I knew that they weren't pleasurable. But she had to resort to the fact that they're good for me. So there are many things in this world that are good for you are not pleasurable, and there are many things that are pleasurable and not good. God promised Avraham Avinu that if he goes and makes this move, it will be also pleasurable and also good for him. Both. So where's the test? And I found that the Baalei HaTosfos already asked this question. If God promised him it's going to be for his good and his pleasure, then where's the test? If God came to me and told me, move to Timbuktu and I promise you it's for your good and your pleasure, why shouldn't I go? And I see the Svasemis also asked this question. Some say that the Svasemis says that was the test. Will Avraham Avinu go because it's good and pleasurable? Will he go because God told him to go? Test will be, will he do it because of his pleasure? Or will he do it because God told him to do it? Okay, possible answer. The Baal HaTurim says that the test was he's going to have to go through a lot of travail and hardship to get there. Test was till he got there. It's going to be when he get there for your good and your pleasure, but it's going to take a lot of time, effort, and difficulty to get there. Will you complain about it on the way? I want to say a completely different idea. They're not completely different. And I found that Rav Eliyahu Melech Migrodzis says something similar. And that is the following. On the one hand, the purpose of all creation. Why did God create us? So the Mesillas Yesharim and in the Derech Hashem says similarly, tell us what Chazal revealed to us as to the purpose of creation. And basically the purpose is the following. God, being the ultimate good, wanted to shower his goodness on a creation that could receive that goodness, which is us, our neshamas. And he wanted to make us enjoy the greatest enjoyment, right, that is possible to experience, and that is a close, intimate relationship with God. And that is what we call Olam Haba. Olam Haba, Tzadikim Yoshvim, Vatroseim, Barashehem, V'nehenem Miziv Hashchina. Tzadikim sit, and they enjoy, bask in the presence of in the light, in the warmth of God's presence. So that is the goal of all creation, that tremendous pleasure that God wanted to bestow upon us. Okay. Now, the Rambam says that fulfilling the Torah l'shem shamayim, right, for no altruistic, for no other purpose than the fact that this is what God wants and this is what's good, right, obviates also doing it in order to get Olam Haba. If you serve God in order to get the reward of the world to come, that's also not the highest level. That's also not totally l'shem shamayim. On the other hand, what's it called? The Rambam says that the reason that we look forward to Mashiach so much is because when Mashiach comes, we'll have the most ideal circumstances to be able to learn and observe the Torah in the most ideal way, so we'll be able to earn the most world to come that we possibly could. So that means that we're looking forward to Mashiach to be able to have the greatest share in the world to come, which the Rambam said is not the reason to keep mitzvahs. So what are we looking forward to? Why would it be that there's a mitzvah to constantly anticipate and look forward to Mashiach if the whole concept of looking forward to Mashiach is to be able to get the most Olam Haba, and the Rambam himself says that's not the highest level. Better to do and serve God without thought of your reward. The answer, I think, is very simple. And that is, there's a difference between serving God because I'll benefit and I'll have a reward in the world to come, or because God intended for me to get that reward, to get that pleasure, and that's God's will. God's will is that the world should reach a purpose, and the purpose is that man should bask in the presence of God and have that pleasure. So I'm not doing it because I want the pleasure. I'm doing it because God wants me to have that pleasure. That's L'shem Shammai. If I do it directly for the pleasure, the Rambam says, that's not the ideal. But if I do it because that's what God wants, God's will is to shower that pleasure on me, then that is the goal, then that's what I want. I want that goal. I want that pleasure showered upon me because that's what God wants for me. That's God's will in creation. I don't want the pleasure. I want God's will to be fulfilled, and in order for that to be fulfilled, I have to have that pleasure. And I found that Rabbi Elimelech Migrodzisk says that that was the test of Avraham Avinu. God tells him, I want you to go to Eretz Yisrael. In a little while we'll see how Eretz Yisrael fits in exactly with the idea of Olam Haba. I want you to go to Olam Haba, I want you to go to Eretz Yisrael, and I promise you it's going to be for your good and your pleasure. Okay? Now the test was, would Avraham Avinu do it because he wants to get that good and pleasure for himself, or because God's will was that he should have that good and pleasure, and I want to fulfill God's will. And my receiving that good and pleasure is a fulfillment of God's will. Very, very thin line. Either case, I'm doing it because I want to receive that good and pleasure. I want to receive it because I enjoy it. I want to receive it because God says that's what he wants to give me. And I want to fulfill God's will by receiving the good and pleasure he wants to give me. That's a very thin line, right? And that was basically the test. Now, let's enlarge upon this idea. Why then would God say that the goal of going to Eretz Yisrael is that it should be for your good and your pleasure? What's the goal of that? What is the idea? There are certain things in this world that are a symbol or even a echo of the world to come in this world already. In other words, what's the world to come? A close relationship with God. Feeling that you're in God's presence and have an attachment to him. There are certain mitzvahs that already give us that attachment and that feeling in this world. What are they? First one is Shabbos. Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. Shabbos is an echo of the world to come. On Shabbos, you get a feeling of olam haba. Okay? The next one, Torah. It says that the Torah itself is the light, the energy source of olam haba, of tchias ha-mesim. Whoever has the light of Torah within him will be able to have eternal life. That is the energy source of eternal life. So when a person learns Torah, he basically is attaching himself to the energy source of eternal life. That's why it's called Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim Ba. V'atem hadveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem Chaim Kulchem Ayom. Life, eternal life, is an attachment to Torah. A person learns Torah, attaches himself to the Torah, he's attaching himself to God, which is like the world to come. And that's what it says. What is the description of the world to come? Tzadikim yoshvim, the tzadikim sit, the atrosehem birashehem, and their crowns are in their head. It doesn't say the crowns are on their head. The crowns are in their head. What is the crown that enables them to bask in God's presence, Torah, the Torah that they have in their head. That is the light, that is the energy of eternal life. And the third thing is Bris Milah. Bris Milah is an attachment to God in a person's body. And it represents the fact that the letter of God's name, the Yud, is attached to the body of the person. That's what the Os HaBris is, the letter Yud. The letter Yud is the letter that Olam Haba was created with. God created this world with a Hey, and he created the world to come with a Yud. Yud Hey, that's God's name. Ki Beko Hashem Tzur Olamim. With the name Yud Kei, God gave a foundation to the worlds. Olamim. This world and the next world. This world he created with a Hey, and the next world with a Yud. So man has within him the connection, the attachment to God in this world, to Olam Haba, to that eternal life, an attachment to God, which is, that is what's called the Bris. Bris means a attachment, a covenant. Hold on with the question, I'll give you a chance at the end, okay? Just write them down. Okay. Now, what's another common denominator between all these things? Shabbos, Torah, Bris Milah. Okay, we'll see there's a fourth one. We'll get to it in a little while. All of them involve simcha and enjoyment. How so? Shabbos. You have to enjoy Shabbos. Only Shabbos. A mitzvah. To enjoy the Shabbos. Okay? Torah. There's a mitzvah, even though we say mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu, that mitzvahs were not given for pleasure, Torah was given for pleasure. Learning Torah has to be pleasurable. V'harevnu Hashem Elokeinu, as divrei sorascha b'finu. When we learn Torah, there's a simcha, there's a joy, there's a pleasure in learning Torah, and that's part of the mitzvah. And the same thing goes with milah. The Gemara says that any mitzvah that the Jewish people receive, b'simcha, they still do b'simcha. We have a meal, a joyous meal by a bris. David HaMelech said, "Sos anochi alim rasecha, kemotzei sholol rav." He was referring to bris milah. It's supposed to give a person tremendous simcha. Now, as an aside, women, right, are missing the mitzvah of Torah to a certain degree, and bris milah. Why? Because women already have an attachment to Olam Haba without that. The Gemara says, Gedola haftocha shenemra lanoshim yoser me'anoshim. The promise, the guarantee of Olam Haba that was given to a woman is greater than to a man. So a woman has Shabbos, and onig Shabbos, because Shabbos is the attachment to Olam Haba in this world. So even a woman has that. But Torah and Bris Milah are just means to create that attachment in this world. The woman doesn't need those means because she already was given a tremendous promise and guarantee that she will get Olam Haba, so she doesn't need these means to connect her into the Olam Haba of this world. So she doesn't need the Torah, she doesn't need Bris Milah. Now, all of these things are called a bris. Again, an attachment, a covenant. Torah is im lo brisi yomam v'layla, chuko shamayim v'aretz lo samti. Bris milah is obviously a bris, osa bris. And Shabbos, right, is also called a bris. The Shom Yisrael is a Shabbos, lasos a Shabbos dorsam, bris olam. So all these things are an attachment to God, which is what Olam Haba is, and therefore they all have an echo of Olam Haba. And all of them have something else in common. They all are acquired with tremendous amount of effort, yisurim, din, right, tremendous amount of suffering and investment and what's it called, amal and yigiyah, effort, right? Torah is nikna b'yisurim. Olam Haba is nikna b'yisurim. And so is Shabbos, 6 days you have to work to create the Shabbos. And Bris Milah involves a tremendous amount of pain for the baby. So we have, what's it called, all of these things are mamash like Olam Haba. Olam Haba, the ultimate is to have that pleasure and to have that attachment to God. But in order to appreciate it, you have to put in effort and suffer for it and deserve it. So therefore, just like having that attachment ultimately, eternally to God in Olam Haba, there are certain mitzvahs that are an echo of that. In order to have that pleasure that the mitzvah is supposed to give you, Torah learning, Bris Milah, that attachment to God, and Shabbos, you have to first have a tremendous amount of effort that goes into it. There's one other thing that has the same description as those three, Torah and Bris Milah and Shabbos, and that's Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the Ibn Ezra says in Parshas Vayishlach, Hakone chelek be'Eretz Yisrael, kekone chelek b'Olam Haba. Person who owns a portion in Eretz Yisrael is if he owns a portion of the world to come. Living in Eretz Yisrael gives you an attachment to God. Person lives in Eretz Yisrael, it's like he has a God. Compared to somebody in Chutz Laretz, comparatively, relative, doesn't have a God. The relationship here is so much greater that, relatively speaking, it's like you don't have a God in Chutz Laretz. Here it's the what's it called? There's a bris that was made. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a bris to Avraham Avinu concerning Eretz Yisrael. It's also called a bris, Bris Haaretz. And that's why all these things that are a bris, the word Zos applies to them. Right? By Shabbos it says Zos Os HaBris. By what's it called? By Mila, right? Zos Haaretz. The Zos HaTorah. Why? Zos means this is the essence of existence. Zos. You can point with your finger. This is reality. This is what's substantive. What's real is not the temporal world. What's real is what from this temporal world will come to be eternal, which is Olam Haba, which is that relationship to God, which is eternal. So all these things that are echoes of the world to come, in this world, Torah, Bris Milah, Shabbos, and now Eretz Yisrael, all of them, the word Zos applies to them. And that's why living in Eretz Yisrael, fulfilling the mitzvah, necessitates Simcha. That's why Avraham Avinu was told, go to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm doing it for your pleasure and your good. Because that's what Eretz Yisrael is. It is an echo of living in the world to come already. And what's the purpose of the world to come? Because God wanted to shower us with his goodness and his pleasure, the ultimate pleasure. So in Eretz Yisrael, there has to be that goodness and that ultimate pleasure as the goal of all existence. And just like in Olam Haba, a person has to do his mitzvahs and learn his Torah to receive that pleasure because that's God's will. Then Avraham Avinu also had to go to Eretz Yisrael to receive that pleasure and that good because that's God's will. Not because I want to have pleasure and good, but because God wants me to have pleasure and good because that's the purpose of everything in this world ultimately. That was the test. And where do we see that living in Eretz Yisrael necessitates Simcha? The Orach Chaim HaKadosh says, it says, V'hoya kisavo el ha'aretz. And Chazal say, Ein v'hoya el ha'loshon simcha. Whenever it says v'hoya, as opposed to v'yehi, v'yehi is v'y, loshon tsar. V'hoya is simcha. So simcha is what's it called, is v'hoya. And it also says that even if you're not living in Eretz Yisrael, but you're anticipating one day going there, like every Jew has to anticipate one day Nitz Hashem, the Rabbanim will return us all to Eretz Yisrael. So throughout the long years of Golus, there had to be tremendous gaguin, tremendous longing to be in Eretz Yisrael as a, just like we long to have Olam Haba and Yemos HaMashiach. Because, again, we long for the goal. The goal is that God should be able to shower his goodness and the pleasure of being attached to him on us. That's the goal. So a person has to be aware of the goal. He can't do it for the pleasure. He does it because that's what God wants to do for him. I want that God's will should be fulfilled. And that's why it says that Avraham Avinu was in Eretz Yisrael 5 years before Lech Lecha. He already came there on his own 5 years earlier. And God made this bris with him that he would get Eretz Yisrael and he would have children and his children would inherit Eretz Yisrael. And they sent him back to Chutz Laretz for 5 years. And then only 5 years later did he command him to come back. And the Shaloh HaKadosh says, what was the purpose? If God knew 5 years later he was going to tell him to come back, why didn't you just leave him there? He said because he wanted Avram Avinu to go back to Chutz Laaretz and to long coming back to Eretz Yisrael. And that would create a reservoir of power for all Jews for all time who would have to be in Chutz Laaretz and in Golus to long to be in Eretz Yisrael. Because again, Eretz Yisrael, just like a person longs for Torah and for Shabbos, also look forward to Shabbos, right? That's the same way you look forward to Eretz Yisrael. They all are ideas and echoes of the world to come. And that's what it says. El ha'aretz asher areka. Not just the land I will show you, but the Sfarno says the land I will appear to you. The land where you'll feel my presence. And ultimately that presence was felt three times a year when they went to the Beis HaMikdash for Re'iyas Panim. They actually, Kibiyachol, felt like they could see God. And God was watching them. So you had that experience three times a year in the most intense way, but just living in Eretz Yisrael, you felt that you're in the presence of God and you have that attachment to Him. The Zohar Chodesh says that Lech Lecha is a hint to God sending the neshama into this world. Lech Lecha. Leave your abode up here, go into the world, but the purpose is to earn that ultimate reward. So the Lech Lecha of Avram was the same thing. You're going to have to go through a tremendous amount of pain, suffering, difficulty, effort, investment to get there. It's not easy to travel there. But the goal is, like anything in this world, your travel into this world, your journey in this world is not easy. But it's all to be able to earn that ultimate pleasure of being attached to God eternally. That's what it's all about. And that's what going to Eretz Yisrael was all about too. Just like Torah, just like Shabbos, just like Bris Milah, Eretz Yisrael is an echo of the world to come. And that's why it says, Vayomer Hashem el Avram. Just like when God created the world, He used Amira, Vayomer Elohim. So the Balei HaTosfos says the same thing applies. This is like a new creation. God is telling Avram Avinu, we're starting creation anew. And the whole purpose of creation was to give man the chance to earn his share in the world to come, his attachment, to create that attachment with God. Same thing. I'm telling you to go to Eretz Yisrael, Lech Lecha, so you can create that attachment also in this world. And that's what it says, Lech Lecha me'artzecha. Go away from your materialism, from the ground, from your materialistic living. That's what Panim Yafo says. Umimoladetecha, and from the part of your father and mother, your more physical side, and also from the place where you were born, which is full of idolatry. Umibesavicha, the Alshich says something interesting. He says, you can't, if you want to feel that attachment to God, already feel that Olam Haba, you have to feel that your home is not in this world, but your real home is in the next world. It's like the lesson of Sukkot. This world's only temporary. The real home you have is in the world to come. So in this world, leave your home. Don't feel rooted here. Here it's only a temporary place to be able to get you to where you're going to be permanently and attach you to the Rabban Hashem eternally. And also, the Tzemach Tzadik says that the idea is when you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, that's where you're going to have good. That's where you're going to have pleasure. All your pleasure should only be spiritual pleasure. And whatever physical pleasures you have should only be pleasurable because they reach you and help you attain spiritual things. And the only thing you consider good, ultimately, is spiritual good. And all the physical good is only good because it helps you attain that spiritual good. And that's why the Kutzker says, Letovoscha, lahanoscha, letovoscha, lahanos, not nishmoscha. Your nishama should have pleasure. And it's tovas haguf, and it's good for your body too. In other words, what's good for your nishama is good for your body. What's pleasurable for your nishama, that's what you consider good. That's why it says, kirvas Hashem, kirvas Elohim, lito. Being close to God, that's what I consider good. And even though Avram Avinu already left his birthplace and the land where he was originally settled in, Ur Kasdim, so why is God telling him now to leave it? The answer is, it's not leave. It means go farther and farther away from it. Distance yourself from the things that are negative and attach yourself to me. That is what Lech Lecha is all about, and that was the test. And that's why it says Lech Lecha, go to yourself. Your real essence you'll find in Eretz Yisrael, because your real essence is your neshama. So you're going to recognize and be sensitive to your neshama, and then you can be sensitive to your neshama's attachment to God. First you have to be sensitive to yourself before you can be sensitive to the attachment that yourself, that your neshama has to God. If you're not sensitive to your neshama, you'll never feel that attachment to God. And that's why the Medrash says, Lech Lecha in Gematria is 100. Lamed Chaf is 30 and 20, twice is 100. Why? Because you're going to a land where the feeling, the land itself, is an attachment to God. But what's the key to that attachment? The 100 brachas that you make every day. What are those 100 brachas? They're an awareness of God everywhere. And that awareness is most intense in Eretz Yisrael. And that's the case, then you can understand what it says the following, which on the surface is difficult to understand, the two psukim. One pasuk says, immediately after God told Avram, Lech Lecha, Vayelech Avram, he went. Vayelech ito Lot, and he took Lot with him. And Avram was 75 years old when he left Haran. One pasuk. Next pasuk. Vayikach Avram es Sara ishto. Avram took his wife Sarah, and Lot ben Achiv, and his nephew Lot. V'yeskol rechusham asher rachashu, and all of their material possessions. V'yes hanefesh asher asu b'charan, all their students, that they were makariv in Haran. Vayetzu l'oleches Eretz Kanan, they left to go to Eretz Yisrael. Vayavo Eretz Kanan. What's the difficulty? How many times did he leave? The first pasuk says Vayelech Avram, he went and he took Lot. Second pasuk says he took his wife Sarah and Lot and he went. How many times did he go? The first pasuk said he went. Could say, but you really can't say that, that it says Avram went and he took Lot, and they're on the road, and Avram turns to Lot and he says, "We forgot something." I can't put my finger on it. We forgot to lock the door, turn off the gas. Something, it's hitting me, we forgot. Then it hits him. Sarah runs back. Vayikach Avram es Sarah ishto. Obviously, that can't be the pshat. So what is the pshat? So I think it means the following. God was telling Avram two things. I want you to leave the physical, material existence you have here, and I want you to get an attachment and have a greater sensitivity to a spiritual existence that is an echo of that eternal spiritual existence in the future. There's the sur meira, go away from the negative, and there's going to the positive. When it says that he left, that's a physical thing. He left the negative behind. And he was 75 years old when he did that. A period in his life came to an end. That's the going away. Now, in that respect, it's a physical picking up and leaving the land where he was. That's one thing that God wanted. In that respect, it didn't have to say that he took Sarah and his students and all of his possessions, because that's Avram, right? A woman and a husband and wife are one. So it doesn't have to say Avram and Sarah went. Avram went. And Avram means Sarah. Also, it didn't have to say he took his students, because students and a teacher are like father and children. So, you don't have to say he takes children. If Avram went, of course he took his children. Doesn't have to say he took his money. Of course he took his money. Was leave it in Chutz Laretz? Of course he took it with him. Part of him. That person, money is an extension of a person. His material possession. So when it says Vayelech Avram, it means Sarah, his material possessions, and his students. What doesn't it include? Lot. He didn't have to take his nephew. So it says Vayelech, he told Lot. Lot also went. In the respect of leaving Chutz Laretz, there it says Avram went, and Avram includes everything physically, and he also took Lot. Next pasuk is Vayikach, and I found that the Zohar says what I've been saying for years, a little bit different context, a little bit different context. Whenever it says the word Vayikach by human beings, it does not mean to take by the hand. It means to take by the heart, meaning to convince. First time it's in the Torah. Yikach Hashem Elokim es Ha'adam. God took man and put him in Gan Eden. He didn't take him physically and put him there. He convinced him to go in. He kachenu bidvarim. Take him with words. Convince him. Kach es Ha'Leviim. Take the Leviim. That's supposed to take him physically. Convince them that it's worth it for them to be Leviim. Kach es Aaron. Convince him. Everywhere in the Torah. And some say that that's why when a marriage, you have to have speech. The man has to say, Hareyat Mekudeshesli. Okay, well, Ica says, Ki Yikach Ishisha. Takes a woman. Doesn't take her by the hair and drag her into his cave. Takes her by the heart. He has to say something. It's not just the act, the act of creating the marriage. You have to say something, too. There has to be an amira, too. There has to be a saying. That's why it says over here, Vayikach Avram. Here the idea is they left the negative, the Sur Meira. Now's the Aseh Tov. You're leaving the physical, material, and you're now going towards a more spiritual place where all the physical, material things are a mitzvah, are for the sake of attaching yourself to God, which is the whole idea of this world, using the physical world to create an eternal spiritual world. Now, you're not just going away from the negative. You're going towards the positive. Then you need Vayikach. Now you need to sit down and discuss it and convince yourself that this is taka the way it is. That doesn't just happen automatically. It has to happen with a lot of thought and preparation. So Vayikach Avram Esor Ishto. Right? He now convinced and talked about going towards Eretz Yisrael. Leaving Chutz La'aretz is no big deal. The main thing now is what's going to be our intention when we get there. We were going there because that's the place that will be good and pleasurable. And that's what God wants to do, shower his goodness on us, attach himself to us. But it's going to entail a lot of effort, a lot of work, right, to do that. We need to discuss it. We need to think about it. We have to get our sights. And are we doing it for the pleasure? Or are we doing it because that's God's will that we should have that pleasure? All of that was part of the Nisayon, part of the test. So that basically was the test of Lech Lecha. Is Avram going to appreciate what his purpose in life is? Like the Mesillas Yesharim starts out. Chovas, the first, Yesod HaChasidus, Vishoresh HaAvoda Atmima, the foundation of what Judaism is all about, what Torah and Mitzvahs are all about. And the root of it all is that a person should know what his purpose in this world is, what the goal is, what are you here for? What are you working towards? And that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu. I want you to leave this land here where everything is for the sake of itself, an end in itself. I want you to go to Eretz Yisrael, where there you'll feel that the entire physical material world is for the sake of ultimately attaching yourself to me. And that is a model, an echo of Olam Haba. And therefore a person who owns or settles in Eretz Yisrael, like settling in Olam Haba, because it's already a mini Olam Haba. It's a mini idea that will bring you to the Olam Haba ultimately, and that's the test. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner says that all the tests of Avraham Avinu enabled every Jew for every generation to fulfill the same test. If Avraham Avinu hadn't been ready to sacrifice Yitzchak, no Jew could ever have sacrificed his life or his family's life for the sake of God throughout history. If Avraham Avinu wasn't able to pass the test of Lech Lecha, no Jew could ever leave Chutz La'aretz, family, friends, friendly environment, and make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. So all of you, right, I assume, since you can understand what I'm saying, right, were not born here. So you all came here, right, and did the exact same thing that Avraham Avinu did. So you got that power from him. There's only one little problem with that, and that is that Goyim are able to sacrifice their lives for their idolatry. Don't they need the power of Avraham Avinu? Jews couldn't do it, but Goyim can do it. How come? So I'll tell you what I think the answer is. So I had a shul in Miami, which is relatively a quiet shul. In Chutz La'aretz, it's I don't know if it's changed, but it used to be terrible. And I know a lot of shuls where it's really terrible, the talking. People talk during davening. It's noisy. It's terrible there. Here, the problem is a lot, much big, less problem. My shul, relatively speaking, was a quiet shul, but it wasn't perfect. There were still people who talked, walked around, whatever. Once I had a guest for a simcha in the shul, a person who didn't, I don't think ever davened in a Orthodox shul. He was a member of a conservative temple, a reformed temple, and he came to me at the end of davening. He said, "Rabbi, I'm a little surprised. You people are supposed to be religious, more religious than we are. In my temple, you can hear a pin drop during the service. Everybody sits with decorum, respect. And in your place, people walk around talking." He said, "You're supposed to be more religious than us. How come you don't have respect for your temple like we have respect for our temple?" So my Balabatim would tell him, "You see, there's a difference. You're going to a show, right? And at the opera, you keep quiet, right? We're at home here. This is our home. We're Hamish." But I usually tell my Balabatim, that's not an excuse, because there's a difference between Hamish and Behamish. Right? Don't tell me you're Hamish. You let your kids run over the furniture over here. You wouldn't let them do that in your living room. So don't tell me it's Hamish. This is more Behamish. That's animalistic. So that's not the answer. So what is the answer? I'll tell you what the answer is. I didn't tell him this. I don't remember what I told him. I think I told him that he's right. It's a complaint and we have to work on it. But the real answer is, that's the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara wants you to deal with a place that has no holiness. A place where men and women sit together and daven has no holiness. A place, reform, is even worse. I was once at a reform service. I was a kid. And I went into a reform temple for Friday night to see what it was like. And I remember they said Shema Yisrael, but I didn't recognize it because they changed it. It was no longer Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, but Shema Yisrael, Yisrael Ameinu, Yisrael Echad. They just took God out of the Shema Yisrael. They weren't comfortable with God. So that place has no holiness. The Yetzer Hara wants you to treat a place that has no holiness as if it does. That's the Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Hara wants you to treat a place that has holiness as if it doesn't. So the Yetzer Hara is very happy with Goyim giving their life for idolatry. He doesn't put up any fight, so it's easy to do. But a Jew, to give up his life for the Rabban Lashon, there the Yetzer Hara puts up a fight. Without the power of Avraham Avinu, no Jew could have ever been successful in fighting the Yetzer Hara. I'll tell you another thing where I saw the same idea. There are many modern schools that feel that Gemara learning for boys is irrelevant. I mean, what do they know about this guy's ox goring, this guy's ox? What does this do for a child's life? They can't understand, you know, what it means to learn Gemara, what it means that's... So they minimize Gemara learning, and they emphasize other subjects which are more relevant. Those same modern schools, though, teach Gemara to girls. Now, girls don't have to learn Gemara. Right, so they could easily say, "Wow, Baruch Hashem. See, Gemara is irrelevant to the boys, but we have to teach it because we have to teach it, so we'll give them a few hours a week. But girls, they have no mitzvah, we could get away without mentioning Gemara to them." No, girls have to learn Gemara. Why? It's irrelevant to boys who have to learn it. Why is it not irrelevant to girls? Because that's the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara wants you to teach girls Gemara because it's not something to do. And it wants you not to teach boys Gemara because that's something to do. It's exactly how the Yetzer Hara works. It seems contradictory. It's not contradictory. That's human beings. That's human nature. You want to do what you're not supposed to do, and you don't want to do what you're supposed to do. So that was the Nisayon of Lech Lecha. Well, Avraham Avinu, at one, understand that he's going to Eretz Yisrael, and this is the pleasure, and this is the goodness. And he's not doing it because he wants to get pleasure and good. He's doing it because that's what God wants for him. That's the goal of everything. And he's willing to put in all the difficulty and all of the investment and all the suffering to be able to ultimately fulfill God's will to benefit that good and that pleasure that God wanted to shower upon mankind. And in that way, he'll be able to then get the ultimate good and pleasure, which is Olam Haba, which Eretz Yisrael is just an echo of in this world. Yes, not that. Yes. They all say choose first. Okay. Yeah.
Some Jews, unfortunately, They are just Jews' names, and they don't long to come here.
Okay.
Not they go at all.
Right. They would rather it be as long as possible before they come here. Right.
Yes. No, and maybe just before they die, they come or whatever, and perhaps they will end Olam Haba. But if they don't, does that mean they don't get Olam Haba?
No. You can get Olam Haba. There's Jews who haven't ever been here because they were in Golus. Right? A Jew that doesn't long to be in Eretz Yisrael is missing something. It's something negative. But you don't lose your chelik in Olam Haba because you don't long to come to Eretz Yisrael. There's certain things you lose your chelik in Olam Haba. It's not one of them. But it's a negative thing that a person has to probably have tshuva, kapara for whatever, because it's something that you missed that you should have had. Because somebody doesn't know that there's something to long for. Right, so like any other mitzvah, they don't know about.
And the same thing with Shabbos, they don't.
Right. Okay.
They don't think it's anything to long for.
Just the opposite; they long for it to be over because it's especially in the summer.
No, they don't even keep it.
Okay. But there's some people who keep Shabbos and hope that it gets finished quickly.
You said that the person owns a place in Eretz Yisrael. What if they just rent?
Okay, there is an inyan for a person to own something here, but the truth is, everybody, to a certain degree, owns something in Eretz Yisrael, because we all are descendant from people who split up the land, and therefore we may not know where it is, but everybody has some portion here. So you do own something. You may not know where it is, but it's yours. Yeah. We'll get to you in a second here. Because you were so benevolent to give it up. Therefore, yeah.
How do you know whether you're doing it for your own reward or for the will of Hashem when He tests it?
We're talking about an ideal. Don't let it bother you that you're doing it because it's pleasurable or you'll get reward, right? We're pretty much all on that level, right? But there's an ideal to be on a much higher level. We're talking about Avraham Avinu is Avraham Avinu. We're not Avraham Avinu. If we do it because I want to do it because I'll get that reward in the world to come, Nishkeferlech. That's not the highest level, but it's a very good level. There's plenty of people who don't do anything, right? And that's much less.
How do we know that Abraham
was able to do it? Because he passed the test. Because the rabbis tell us that he had 10 tests and he passed the 10.
Okay.
But it's the same thing. You know how you can do Shabbos. I enjoy Shabbos. Why do you enjoy Shabbos? Do you enjoy Shabbos because it's enjoyable? Or do you enjoy Shabbos because God said you should enjoy it? Now, there's a very thin line between them. But the ideal would be to do it because God said, not because I love cholent, right? But I love cholent because God wants me to love that cholent. That's a very high level, right? You should strive towards it. And maybe sometimes a second here, a second there, you'll reach it. But you shouldn't get depressed if you're not there all the time, because 99.99% of people are not there all the time, okay? It's only those 0.01% that we can imagine, right, reach that kind of level, but it's an ideal to strive for. Yeah.
I wanted to ask Rav, if you could just go over the connection to the Brit Mila and the Yud, like why drop for the Yud?
No, the Yud, yeah.
And
the each letter of the Rabban Shalom's name is connected to different things, either in a person's body or bechlal in the world. Mm-hmm. And the Yud is the small letter, okay? And the whole idea of Brit Mila, removing the orla, is similar to that letter. Okay.
You should enjoy Shabbos. Sometimes it's impossible. You're sick. You're very, very sick, and you can't enjoy it.
Okay.
How can you force yourself to enjoy it? And sometimes you in mourning, and it's very difficult if you just.
So you know the story with Reb Meir and Bruria, that their two sons died on Shabbos, and she didn't tell her husband till after Shabbos in order not to. Now that's a woman that she knew, right? And she was able to control her emotions to the point where she could still enjoy the Shabbos, even though she had two children that died on that Shabbos. That's, again, an ideal to strive for. But we know of people that we can relate to that had terrible tzaras that happened to them. Shabbos, they kept Shabbos and were basically, can't say they were, you know, jumping for joy because of the tzaras, but they enjoyed the Shabbos and immediately after Shabbos broke down and cried. No stories like that. I can't think of one now specific, but many stories like that. Again, it's an ideal to work for. All these things are ideals to work for. It's not something that a person reaches and we're all perfect and everything I'm telling you is, if you feel guilty then because you're not on that level. Okay, I'm not on that level either. Okay, so we can talk about it and we can strive for it and we can try a second here and a second there maybe to reach it. But it shouldn't be something that puts us into some kind of depression because I'm not on that highest level. Right? That's the Yetzer Hara too. Okay. Sometimes I hesitate to speak about these levels because it gives the impression like, you know, well, how come I'm not like that? And if I'm not like that, then it's not worth anything. Then my Shabbos isn't... If I'm doing this because I love Cholent, then my Shabbos is worthless. No. Baruch Hashem, you love Cholent, it's fine. Right? It's also Madriga.